Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is daf Pei Vav in Sanhedrin. We're back on Pei Hamad Beis, and we're starting at the Mishnah back on Pei Hamad Beis. A couple more words about Maka Avivim, hitting your mother and father, and then we move on to today's daf, which is all about kidnapping. Mishnah teaches us that when the Mishnah on the top of the page, our Mishnah teaches us that if you hit your mother or father, you're not chayav. It will not be a capital case until you make a chabur. And there's a fundamental difference between Mak and Makala. There are two prohibitions that you can't do to your parents. Both of them are capital crimes. One is hitting your parent, the other one is cursing your parents. And there's a fundamental difference. And the difference is which one would apply post-mortem. And the answer is Makala. Cursing your parents, even post-mortem, is a prohibition, is a capital crime. Hitting your parents post-mortem is not a capital crime. It's easy. Well, no, it's not difficult. It's just, you know, it's just disgusting. In other words, you hit them after they're dead. Huh? Now, it may be, we'll discuss this a little bit later on this morning, right? It's a little bit strange. What's strange? Meaning, that we know that there's a mitzvah to honor your parents after they're dead, right? So one could easily argue that this is just simply a function of, well, you know you have to honor your parents after they're dead, so you can't hit them and you can't curse them as well. The exemption from hitting post-mortem may be a technical issue. Maybe. Meaning that we just learned that in order to for it to be a makah, it has to be a bruise. And it may be that the only reason of exemption post-mortem is that they don't bruise. It could very well simply be a technical problem post-mortem in terms of why you're exempt from hitting. Okay? Something to think about? Tana Rabbanan, we'll start with the Gemara. Klala, cursing your parents is a capital crime even after they die. And over here, look, I could have made the following argument. Look, the argument is very simple. Hating your parents is only capital crime when they're alive. So cursing should also be a capital crime only when they're alive. And not only is it for just a simple argument, but you can make even a logical argument. Look, when it comes to hitting, it doesn't matter how he practices. It doesn't matter whether he's in the fold, out of the fold, it doesn't matter. Lo chayav bo la'achamisa. And still, there's no chayav achamisa. Mikalel, but when it comes to cursing, shalo asa bo shalo ba'amecha ka ba'amecha. When it comes to cursing, we know that in the world of cursing, it matters whether he's amecha or he's not amecha. Well, how he behaves. If he does not behave like a Jew, so then there's no prohibition of cursing. Now, I know this dovetails on what we discussed at the very end of yesterday's daf about maybe your parents will be different even if they are not practicing Jewish people, right? If they are blatantly violating the Torah. So I pointed out the Rambam yesterday is of the opinion you're not allowed to hit them and you're not allowed to curse them. But even the Rambam's position, which I cited yesterday, it's still not a capital crime. Still not a capital crime according to the Rambam. It's a prohibition, you can't do it, but it's not a capital crime. So when it comes to hitting, we make no distinction. When it comes to cursing, we do make a distinction. If they're eino amecha, if they're not behaving like a Jew, so it's not a capital crime. So eino din shlo chayv bo la'achamisa. So if makeh, where we make no distinction, only lasts up until the death of the parents, cursing, where we do make a distinction, also should end at the life of the parent. So it's a kavachomer as well. So tamalomer avivim okilel la'achar misa. So that's why we have avivim okilel. Rashi explains those are extra words which the Torah didn't need to state. And so therefore from there it's a ribui, which tells us that cursing is a capital crime, even post-mortem.
Is it cursing a life? Rashi
yesterday, I'll remind us what we saw in Rashi. Rashi said that cursing is a subcategory of nidui. It's like chayrin. So just the excommunication, right, is falls under this category of cursing. So I don't know. It means that I don't think it has to be b'shame and right.
Excommunicate your father?
Yeah, right. Because if you remember,
but right, that's considered cursing.
That could be a form of cursing. We learned yesterday that if he does deserve excommunication and Beis Din now wants to excommunicate him, so the question we raised yesterday was, can you act as an agent of Beis Din? Without acting as an agent of Beis Din, however, you see clearly that that form of curse is a form of curse. Back to the Gemara. So good. Ella Hanicha. Sorry. Hanicha Rav Yonasan de Miyas Leikra of Ivimo. According to Rav Yonasan, those extra words at the end of the pasuk, those are superfluous and allows us to make the drasha that cursing is a prohibition and a capital crime even after they die. Ella Rav Yoshia Maikal Meimer. But what are you going to do if you hold like Rav Yoshia? Did Tanya? The Gemara is now going to introduce us to the machlokus between Rav Yonasan and Rav Yoshia. We learned in a braisa ish ish matam alama ish ish. The Torah says ish ish, the double language of ish ish. What do we learn out from that? Lerabos, it comes to include bas, tumtum, androgynous, these types of people who curse their parents. The daughter, Torah doesn't say girl, Torah says man, but it says ish ish, the double language is coming there to be a reboy. So it comes to include a daughter or someone whose gender we don't know. Tumtum, we don't know, androgynous, we also don't know, but because the androgynous is demonstrating both male and female. Ashir kalalas aviv isimo. Then the Torah goes on, who curses their father and their mother. Ein le'ala aviv imo. It sounds like you got to curse both of them, mother and father, in order for it to be a capital crime. Aviv shelo imo, imo shelo aviv minayin. How do I know if I curse one of the two, it's a capital crime? Tam alamer aviv v'imo kilal. It comes out from the end of the pasuk, aviv v'imo kilal. Aviv kilal, imo kilal, divrei Rav Yoshia. So it comes out that according to Rav Yoshia, I need those last three words in the pasuk in order to segregate and say that it's a capital crime if I curse my father or my mother independent of one another. So you see that according to Rav Yoshia, I need those last three words in the pasuk. Let's just finish the brace and then we'll go back to Rav Yoshia.
Rav Yoshia says that even if you do one at a time, you curse,
it's a capital crime.
And
Rav Yonasan's going to agree. It's just a question of how we get to that conclusion. Rav Yonasan Omer Mashma Shneim Keachad or Mashma Echad VeEchad Bifnei Atzmo. Rav Yonasan says no. When the Torah gives a list, we do not link them together. Anytime the Torah gives us a list, we assume independent of one another, unless the Torah Achi Pari Lecha Kosov Yachdov. Unless the Torah says together, Menale. Sorry. So, and how does he know that? He learns it from Shatnez, right? Lo yachro shor v'chamor yachdav. That when yachdav is in the pasuk, now you know that the list is all inclusive. If the Torah doesn't say the word yachdav, so it's independent of one another. So Rav Yonasan already knows, you don't even need to get to those last three words of the pasuk. Rav Yonasan already knows that mother and father independent of one another, if you curse them, it's a capital crime. So according to Rav Yonasan, it's great. Those last three words in the pasuk are superfluous. Why are they there? To be mechadesh, to teach us that the prohibition of cursing applies even after they're dead. But if you're Rav Yoshia and you need those last three words in the pasuk in order to separate mother and father, minale. So according to Rav Yonasan, where are you going to get it from? According to Rav Yoshia, thank you. Minale nafgale mim v'kala aviv v'ima mos yimas. So he learns it from the pasuk mekala aviv v'ima mos yimas. V'idach, now back to Rav Yonasan. What does Rav Yonasan do with that pasuk? Ha'omi ba'ile l'rabos vas tumtum v'androgynous. Coming to include the daughter, the tumtum and androgynous, those who are gender confused. V'tepagle mi'ish ish. Well, why didn't he learn that from the pasuk ish ish? Debetor kolashim b'nei Adam. Fine. So, right, sometimes the Torah does that, sometimes the Torah just speaks in a manner that is normal conversation.
But is ish ish normal manner of conversation?
He believes it is. That's the Gemara has now a debate as to whether or not ish ish.
There are so many times in the Torah, ish ish.
Correct.
And every time they actually derive something from it, they don't say.
So, what you'll have to say, and I don't, you know, I didn't do my homework, certainly on this point, is that this is a consistent machlokus throughout the Gemara as to whether or not ish ish is to be darshaned, or is it just simply lashon b'nei Adam. And you'll have to then do a search and see, is Rav Yonasan and Rav Yoshia always consistent about their position?
Is there any indication that, say, he curses his father, then 3 days later curses the father? Is there a time like
that? No, everyone agrees. No, the conclusion is very clear. Everyone agrees that mother and father are each separate capital crimes. Mm-hmm. Everyone agrees to that. It's just a question of how we get to that point. So the Gemara says, in this Braisa, why not also mention that there's a Chumrah by Makeh? What's the Chumrah by Makeh? So the Chumrah by Makeh is that we make no distinction. We don't distinguish between a father who's behaving like a Jew versus a father who's not behaving like a Jew. And but by Mekala, we know such a difference exists. So why doesn't the Mishnah or the Braisa, Mishnah I think, why doesn't the Mishnah make such a distinction? So Kasavra Makshina Hakala Klala. So the Gemara says Ha Hekesh. Right? Must be that the distinction is true by both, by Mekala and by Haka. Lema Hani Tanai Kahani Tanai. Okay, ostensibly we're going to introduce ourselves to another Machlokas Tanaim, which seems to go hand in hand with what we just learned. Didni chada, we learned in one braisa. Kusi, atam mitzuva al akaso, v'yatam mitzuva al kilalasa. One braisa says that when you have a kusi, kusi is a what is he? He's from the town of Kusa. Is that helpful? Sure. When the Sancheriv came in and ascended on the northern kingdom, took out the Jews from the northern kingdom, the 10 tribes, hence the 10 lost tribes, and supplanted them with people from Kusa. They were Kusim. The Navi describes in Sefer Malachim how they wanted to cling to their ways of idolatry, but they were practicing idolatry in Israel. Israel could not tolerate. Lions started coming and attacking the Kusim, and they converted. And the classic debate that takes place throughout Shas, here's one more example, is whether or not that conversion was a complicit conversion, or was it a forced conversion? Geirei Emes versus Geirei Arayos. Arayos over here meaning with the Aleph, meaning lion. Lions coming and attacking them. So one braisa says that when it comes to the kusi, so mitzuva ala kasaviyata mitzuva kalasa, you're obligated not to hit, but you're not obligated about cursing. And another braisa says, no, there's a prohibition for both. Now, as far as the conversion is concerned, everyone is of the opinion that, again, this is an assumption, everyone's of the opinion that the conversion is a fine conversion. It's a good conversion. And then what's the debate? My love, the hakim ifuki, the mar sever makshina hakala klala, o mar sever lo makshina hakala klala. And it could be that the whole debate over here surrounds whether or not there's a hekesh between hitting and cursing. If there's a hekesh, so that means that if one applies, the other one would apply as well. If there's no hekesh, so then we could delineate. When it comes to cursing, he has to behave like a Jew. He is a Jew, right? Because he's Geirei Emes. He has to behave like a Jew. And if it's Hakah, his behavior will not affect the prohibition whatsoever. L'chora, that seems to be the machlokas between the two braisas.
I don't understand the Geirei Emes.
Because the Gemara assumes it's a stranger. They're not behaving. They're not behaving like Jews. They follow some mitzvahs, they don't follow other mitzvahs.
What?
The Gemara in Chul in the beginning says that they keep some of the mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs that they do keep, they're very careful about, but they choose, they're selective about which mitzvahs they keep. So they're not, in other words, they're converted, so it means they're Jews. The pasuk says Nasi b'amcha lo sa'or, only when he's a member of your nation, meaning behaving like one of your people. And the Gemara's assumption by Kusi is that he's not behaving. He's not behaving like a Jew, even though he is a Jew. So that's the Gemara says that.
The assumption is like a Gemara or not. Might
right.
Might be Jews,
Jews, again, it's really more of a function of their behavior, of how many, whether or not they practice mitzvahs or not. The Gemara says, "Lo, dekulei amal lo makshina hakala klala." So the Gemara says, "No hekish whatsoever." V'hachav ha'akam ifugi mar savar kusim geirei emesin umar savar kusim geirei arayosin. So the Gemara says, the whole debate over here is whether or not the conversion is a good conversion or not a good conversion. The Gemara says, "No, that can't be." Ihachi hane diktani alav v'sharaki yisrael. So the Gemara says, because if you follow further in the Braisa, which the Gemara didn't quote, and now the Gemara does quote, if you follow further in the Braisa, the Torah says, Sorry. The Braisa says, V'shara ki Yisrael. Then his shore is like the shore of a Yisrael. It's an ox, Jewish ox, and not a non-Jewish ox. What does that mean? Go back to our days of Baba Kama. If a ox of a Jew gores an ox of another Jew, so then if it's the first time, it's chatzi nezek. If it's a muad, it's nezek shalem. If the ox of a non-Jew strikes the ox of a Jew, you always chatz. If the ox of a Jew strikes the ox of a non-Jew, you're pater. You're going to be exempt. Right? There's chila Hashem, there's kiddush Hashem, but from a strictly financial standpoint, there's an exemption. So the Braisa says that their ox shara ki Yisrael. So that means that the Braisa clearly is of the position that they're Jews. So shma mina beke shepligi. So we go back to our original suggestion. That's exactly what they're arguing about. Whether or not they're Jews or not Jews, both of these Braisa subscribe to the basic point that it's gere MS, that the conversion was a good conversion. So why is one Braisa distinguishing hating versus cursing? Because one Braisa doesn't make the hekesh, and the other Braisa does make the hekesh. Okay. Ad Khan, that is the end of Maka of the Emo. Moving on. Okay? Today's daf, which we've already spent a good amount of time today doing, is now dedicated to the topic of kidnapping. Not allowed to kidnap in the Torah. Kidnapping is a serious offense. Kidnapping is a capital offense. Parshas Ki states a Perik Chavdal at Pasuk Zayin. Ki imatze ish gonev nefesh me'achav mi b'nei Yisrael. If you find a man, you steal him from one of the members of b'nei Yisrael. V'his amer bo. And you work him, you enslave him. U'micharo. And you sell him. U'meisa ganavahu u'viyarta ha'ra mikirbecha. The kidnapper put to death. Now the Torah doesn't tell us how he's put to death. Like we've already learned, every time the Torah tells us about a death penalty without giving us any indication of what the death penalty is, it's chenek, hence it made it into the 10th parak of Sanhedrin with the nechnakim. Where else does the Torah tell us not to kidnap? So we're going to read it next week on Shavuos. And the Aseres HaDibros. 10 Commandments. One of the 10 Commandments is not to kidnap. Lo Signov, do not kidnap. Well, often thought that Lo Signov means do not steal. Often translated Lo Signov as do not steal. And as we're going to learn today's Daf, and Daf Pei Vav and Sanhedrin, that's not correct. Lo Signov means do not kidnap. Well, how do we know that? So context. Contextually speaking, we know it's a reference to kidnapping. We'll talk about that a little bit later on this morning. Hagonev nefesh mi Yisrael eino chayev ad shiachnisenu lirishuso. You got to bring him into your property. Okay. Now, what does that come from? So the pasuk says ki imatze ish gonev nefesh meichav memnei Yisrael. You find somebody v'yisamer bo u'mecharo. So kidnapping means that you have to have possession of the individual. The Torah is not clear about possession. We're going to talk about possession in just a moment from a halachic standpoint. But the Mishnah teaches us that number one, you got to bring him into your rishus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ashiach Nisen L'Rishuso, V'Yishtamish Bo. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not enough. You got to bring him into your rishus, and you have to work him, you have to enslave him, umachro, and then sell him. Now, you realize already from the get-go, just two lines of Mishnah that we did, not even, and you realize from the get-go, there can't possibly be a debate over here between the Tanakhama and Rav Yehuda. I read to you the Pasuk. The Pasuk is extremely clear that in order for this to be a capital crime, there has to be a kidnapping, there has to be an enslavement, and there has to be a sale. Right? That's what the Torah says. And the Mishnah, the way it presents us, in the classic sense, is that the Chachamim say just kidnapping by itself is a capital crime, and Rav Yehuda says, no, you have to enslave, and you have to sell. The Chachamim, of course, agree with that. They can't disagree with that. The Pasuk says it. Okay, so hold that thought. We'll get back to that in just a moment. Hagonev is beno. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan Broka, Mechay v'Chacham and Poshim. What if you kidnap your own child? And that sounds strange, but it, unfortunately, happens all the time, right? In divorces, right? One parent takes the kid. Okay, it happens. It's unfortunate. And so the question that our Mishnah deals with is that considered a capital crime? Again, we're never, throughout Sanhedrin, I keep repeating, but it's true, it's not ethics. We're not discussing ethics right now. It's not okay. It's never okay. Question now becomes, is it a capital crime? We get on to the classic Gemara discussion of someone who's a half slave, half free man, and a machlokas tanayim, whether or not that's kidnapping or that's not kidnapping. And we will, when we get to the Gemara, discuss that case as well. Before we start with the Gemara, so let's just flesh out one point. You have to take possession of that individual. This is strange, because when I talk about objects, so, and I'm a thief, so we know what possession is. In other words, we spent a lot of time throughout our bavas, Baba Kama, Baba Mitzvah, Baba Basra, talking about how to successfully gain possession of an item. Okay, pick up an item, Hagba'ah, Meshicha, right? There, Mesira, there are many ways of having, of obtaining possession. But here we're talking about a person. Right? Now, if we were talking about a slave, avadim domia de karka. So the way I acquire karka is the way I acquire a slave. Right? So that would be with kesef, with shtar, with chazaka. All right. But here it's strange, because I'm not talking about an object. I'm not talking about a slave. I'm talking about another Jew. So, right? So how do I obtain possession of that individual? What do I do? So the Gemara doesn't discuss this point.
Isn't there like a prohibition against enslaving another Jew in Torah that you're not supposed to?
Right, but I'm just, what I'm trying to flesh out right now is that in order to successfully violate this capital crime, how do you actually obtain possession of another individual? What do you do?
It's against the person's will, right?
Right, I'm just saying. Right, we know a lot about how to make kinyanim. Right over here, it's just strange. How do you make a kinyan on such an individual? So Tosfos, bottom Tosfos on Pei Hey Amud Beis, Ashiach Nisan L'Rishu, so Mishum Dechsev Vanim, Sabi Yadov, Afagav De Beper Kama, Berakam the Baba Mitzia, Gabi Geru Gneva Mitzrich and Trey Kryla Ribu Diado, Lav Davka Duadin Gago Chatzir Kafifo, Dilma Kanami Yeshum Ribui. Right, so maybe there's a ribui over here that it doesn't actually have to be in your hands. Maybe, says Tosfos, and again, he's not sure, but you understand where it's coming from. Maybe if I do hagba, okay, now, if I'm kidnapping another person, 200 pounds, hagba is going to be a little bit difficult. But either I'll have helpers, or maybe I'll, right, forklift, but or it'd be a little bit easier if we're talking about kidnapping a child, right? Yeah. So you pick him up. So it could be, we know that in the world of Geneva, of items, so we know that that is in fact considered now a Kenyan. I'm a Ganav, I'm officially a Ganav the moment I pick it up, even though I'm in the property of the person. So if I go into a person's house and I lift him up, Tosha says possibly, right, he's not sure, Gemara doesn't discuss it, but Efshar the imig biwa filabrishas ba'am chayiv kedashka gabi geneva peperk maruba. Dinan hayamoshka viyotse inami. So that's one possibility. One possibility is hagbav would be a way to acquire. Inami hacha de patra of shema machu lekrov and debina shiotim rishus achiv koshikin de brishus ba'am lem lamahani kla. Or one can make the argument that you actually have to take him out of his property. Hagba by himself is not going to be enough, and you got to pick him up and you got to take him out of the property. Again, we have in our own minds ways of how to envision kidnapping. Tosfos over here is really deliberating at what point exactly are you, from a capital crime standpoint, considered a kidnapper? Picking him up, taking him out of his rishus. Right, Tosfos is struggling. He grapples with this.
Where is this in Sabiyah,
though? I can't find it. Tosfos goes, Rashi goes, it's not in,
they quoted in Shemos Habeis, I don't see it. Shemos Habeis doesn't have a kidnapping.
They're enticing the person to come.
No, but Rashi answers that, angry does not know.
No, but that, oh no, that's talking about Geneva.
Oh, I got it. It's 21, it's
wrong. 20,
it's
Chaf Aleph. Thank you. Oh, there we go, thank you. Right, okay. Okay, good. Which pasuk?
is one dinky little piece of tobacco.
Six words. Okay, good. Yeah, go nevi shemacharo. V'nimsa biyado. Yeah, good. Good. Okay. Good. Okay. Back to the Gemara. All right, let's start with the Gemara. Tana Kama lo bai imur. So here the Gemara presents the question I already presented back in the Mishnah. It can't be. Can't be that the Chachamim are saying just kidnapping by itself is a capital crime. No, that's not true. You read the Pasuk in Parshas Ki Tse, and you see that it's a process. It's kidnapping, it's enslaving, and then it's selling. So what's going on? So Amar Avacha Bere de Rava imur Pachus Mishrei Pruta Ikebenayu. So what they're arguing about over here is everyone, of course, says that you need to do emor, that you absolutely need to enslave the individual. Question becomes, how much enslavement are we talking about? The Tanakhama would be of the position that enslaving would be even the smallest amount. Even if we were to put a value on how much you enslaved him, it doesn't even come out to a Shavapruta. Meaning that according to the Tanakhama, it's the act of enslaving, even though there's no value in involved. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, emor is not just an act, it has to be a value as well. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to enslave him to the point where it's worth a Shavapruta. That is, according to the Gemara, the debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay?
So if you take him and sell him, you're not liable?
No, that's not enough. It's not enough. You got to take him, work him, and sell him. Okay? It's a three-step process that's in order for it to be considered a capital crime. Bar of Yirmiyah. Ganvo machro yashan mahu. Machar isha leubra mahu. So, Rav Yirmiyah has two questions. There are many questions you can ask. Why these specific two, I don't know. But two questions regarding some, whether or not it would be considered kidnapping in the capital crime sense. Question number one, you steal him and you sell him and he was sleeping during the whole time. So he was unaware, like we discussed yesterday, right? Embarrassing somebody, he was unaware of that embarrassment. Although by that, Rav Sheshis was clearly of the position that you're chayav. Over here, however, it's much more than embarrassing. This is now, we're talking about kidnapping as a capital crime. Is it kidnapping if he's unaware of what just happened? Machar isha le'ubra. What if you sell a woman, but not for her? In other words, you're not really selling her. You're selling her unborn fetus. Again, unfortunately, read the news, and this sort of thing also happens as well. So, is that... Well,
why do you have to be awake?
Well, is
you
or you're
a female
or not?
Well, no, but Rabbi Tosh was asking about the first question about awake versus asleep. Because
where do you see?
First of all, two things. Number one, the Gemara is going to end off on Teku, so the Gemara is well beyond the point of Hava. I mean, the Gemara really does not know what the answer is.
Really taking this seriously?
Yeah, that's point number one. Point number two, it could be, as my own suggestion, that kidnapping really is a function of stealing one's freedom. Right? In other words, it's more than just an action, it's really a state of mind. You're no longer free. I'm now owning you. So if the person's sleeping and not awake, and he's unaware of what happened, so it may not qualify. Possibly.
That might answer the Kenyan issue.
Right. Right.
It's not really a Kenyan.
They weren't useless.
Correct.
They weren't working.
Problem the Gemara has, the Gemara is extremely technical right now. Yesh derech imur bekach, lein derech imur bekach. Where was the imur? Right? We're asking two questions. One about the kidnapping of a sleeping guy and the kidnapping of an unborn fetus. Where's the imur? So how did you do that? Because remember, in order for it to be capital crime, you need one, two, and three. You need kidnapping, enslavement, and then selling. So where was the emor over here? So the typically the like emor klal. So lo tzricha. So the Gemara comes up. Gemara's so creative. Gemara comes up with ways of doing emor. Yashan dezaga ale. So when the one who was sleeping, so look, you were tired, you need a little pillow. So so you lay down on the sleeping guy, right? Talk about a good sleeper. He's being kidnapped, he's being used, and he's being sold, and he's still.
Maybe that guy with dementia.
Could be. So yeah. So dezaga ale. So that's number one. And what about the unborn fetus? How did you use that? Isha de'ukme ba'ape zika derech imor bekach. Sorry, ba'ape zika. And as far as the pregnant woman's concerned, it's a strong wind, and you use the belly, it's going to come out funny, you use the belly of a pregnant woman to protect yourself from the strong winds. Right. She won't be complimented by that. I'm telling you. I know it. I know it. She probably will be offended.
She could
have kidnapped. So Derech Imer Bekach Mai, Teku, the Gemara ends off with these two questions with Teku. Gemara is unsure. Tana Rabban.
Can you drag men's or drag?
Right, that's a good point. Based on what we just learned, it may not be a capital crime if he's no longer conscious, if you render him unconscious. So the Rashi points out that these words are superfluous, and so therefore we learn out over here that the victim doesn't have to be a man. Isha shiganva isha minayin. How about a woman kidnapping a woman? Tamalamar umesa ganavahu. Again, superfluous words comes to tell us that gender does not matter at all in any permutation. Meaning, man kidnaps woman, woman kidnaps man. Even woman kidnapping woman, under all these circumstances, mikamakom, it's going to be kidnapping. Tani idach. We learned in another brisa. Ki imatzi ish gonev nefesh me'echav echad gonev v'zish v'echad gonev v'zisha ve'echad ger ve'echad eved meshuchrar, a freed slave. The katan or a minor chayev. In all these cases, you're going to be chayev. This is all kidnapping, and it's a capital crime. Ganva v'lo machro. Eved meshuchrar is a ger. So right.
What's the havamina?
Really, Jews. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, maybe eved meshuchrar, just to contrast to the eved, is the ain a meshuchrar, but it's not. You know.
Or the Israel man, then it has to be a.
Oh, right, a born, yeah. Right? Maybe. Ganva v'lo machra machra v'adayin yeshna b'rishus apater. You steal him and you don't sell him. You sell him, but he's still in his rishus. He's going to be pater. What does that mean? You steal him and he's still in his rishus. Who's Rishus? What are we talking about over here? So the way Rashi explains the V'adayin Yesh Nav Rishus, so the Rishus Hanignav Atzmo, meaning I kidnap him by holding him in his own house, right? Sh'adayin lo ichnisu ganav mirishus, so he hasn't left. So it's now fair, now we can go back to that Tosfos that we just discussed a couple of moments ago. So if I kept him in his house, so how did I kidnap him? So what I'll say is, we'll go to the first suggestion of Tosfos, where Tosfos says that Hagbah maybe is enough in order to establish yourself now to be a formal kidnapper. And then, what the Bryce now is teaching us, is that even though I've successfully kidnapped, but I didn't bring him into my property. Okay, possibly. So, Ganva v'lo machro, machro v'adayin yesh nav rishuso, pater. Machro la'aviv, o la'achiv. Ola echad min hakrovim. What if you sell him to the aviv shel nignav? Wow. Right, I sell him to his father or to his brother.
Ransom.
Yeah. Ola echad min hakrovim.
That's not ransom. That's sale.
That's a sale. So
it's a slave.
It's a slave.
It's built on
the ransom. Sale is a slave, though.
The family buys him back.
Right.
I hear
Ben's point better. Right, it's
his Amir is a
the gonev has to be his Amir, and then sell him.
So then he sells him back to the family.
Okay, but I'm just saying. All right, but the
his Amir has to be
right. Okay, all right. I'm not sure. Laviv achiv lachem lachem in a kravim chayev. So then you would be chayev. Hagonev et ha'avadim potter. And if you steal an eved, you'd be potter. Okay, so right, a whole bunch of different halachas regarding who do you have to sell? Sorry, who do you have to kidnap? Who do you have to sell to? And the discussion of taking him into your own property. Top.
Isn't that a chosur mahalach
I get that, right? That takes us back to the point of Tosfos, meaning how exactly are we going to, how is the Kenyan made? Right. Top of Pevavam and Aleph Tanitana, Kamid Rav Sheshes. Oh, we're back at Rav Sheshes. Braisa was taught in front of Rav Sheshes, and it goes like this. Amar Le, Ani Shoneh Rabbi Shimon Omer, Me'echav, Ad Shiyotzienem Rishus Achav. So, Me'echav is an indication of Ad Shiyotzienu Mirishus Achav. You have to remove him from the property of the brothers. Vatamat Chayav, and you want to tell me your Chayav, meaning that in the Braisa we learned that if you sell him to one of the brothers, you would be chayiv. What do you mean? That's not selling him to an outsider. Right? Me'echav makes an indication that has to be to an outsider. So the Braisa should not read chayiv. The Braisa should read p'tur. So Rav Shesha says, okay, take out your pencil, flip it over, go to the eraser, erase the word chayiv and write the word p'tur. So the Gemara says, my kushya, doma ha Rabbi Shimon ha Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, ostensibly, can't you just simply say, Tamachokis between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan lo sakadacha, Tam Rav Yochanan says, Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, because we have our Stams. A Stam Mishnah goes like Rav Meir. Stam Tosefta Rav Nechemia. Anytime you have a Tosefta, it's attributed to Rav Nechemia. Stam Sifra, Medrash on Sefer Vayikra, also known as Torah Kohanim, that's Rav Yehuda. Stam Sifrei, and what about Sifrei, the two Midrashim? I say Medrash over here, I mean Medrash Halacha, not Medrash Agadato. Medrash Halacha, which is old, older than Gemara, older than Mishnah. If I say Sifrei, I mean Rabbi Shimon. And what we're quoting over here, we're darshing a pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse, which means that in terms of the Midrashim, it's Sifrei, so I know it's Rabbi Shimon. And by the way, Chulu Aliba de Rabbi Akiva. You want to talk really about the source of everything? Rabbi Akiva is the source of everything. Meaning, Rav Meir, Rav Nechemia, Rav Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. And by the way, I would venture to say it's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, right? It would seem that way. All of them are students of Rabbi Akiva, and any anonymous Mishnah, Tosefta, Sifra, and Sifri all really can be traced back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is really unbelievable how he's like the source of so many things.
So in Alacha, when you say it's like Rabbi Meir, in fact, it's Rabbi Akiva.
Rabbi Meir's Rebbe was Rabbi Akiva. That was his Rebbe.
When Alacha is decided by applying Rabbi Meir's, then it's actually applied to...
It's complicated in terms of... In other words, if Rabbi Meir says it's not the same, you're right, it's not the same as Rabbi Akiva saying it. Rabbi Akiva will always side with Rabbi Akiva over somebody else. It's not true by Rabbi Meir. You're right. It is. I guess it gets complicated. Hagonev beno, my tamid rabbanan. Now kidnapping your own child. So in the Mishnah we had a machlokus. Hagonev is beno. Rabbi Shimon beno Sher Rabbi Yochanan Brokus says that Yochayev the Chachamim say you're pater, and that's the halacha. Halacha is like the Chachamim. This is not kidnapping in the capital crime sense. What's the reason? Am Rabbi Damakra ki matzei. Because in order to be a kidnapper, you have to go out and you have to find somebody. So that means that if you don't have to go out and find somebody, so it's not, doesn't fall under this parameter of kidnapping. So prat lematsui. So if he's living in your house, if the kid's living in your house, so that's not kidnapping. You want to take that type of drush and you want to apply to other areas in halacha, it doesn't work, it doesn't translate well. So for example, the Torah says adultery. Don't do adultery. But that's not what the Torah says. Torah says, ki yamatzei isho chev imisha bulas baal. Right? Now what does that mean? Does that mean that in order to commit adultery, you have to go out and find a girl, a married woman? Is that what you have to do? Ha chinami ki yamatzei prat lamatzui? Could go and the Gemara says, like, let's say for example, shalbeis ploni. There's a certain house, Gemara's good about its Lashon Hara. we won't identify who it is. There's a certain house where there are couples that live in this house. Couples. Married couples live in this house. And so under those circumstances, it's not that difficult to commit adultery. You don't have to go outside the house. In order to commit adultery, you could do it right here in the house. You want to tell Dishkichan Gabayu. Everyone's right on top of one another. Ha chinami de petire. You want to tell me, you want to come to the absurd conclusion that that's not adultery? because the Torah says ki yimatzei. We know that's not true. We know that adultery is any time a man has relations with another man's wife, that is adultery, regardless of how far he had to traverse in order to find that woman. Of course it's adultery. So that logic does not translate into adultery. So you want to tell me the same thing over here, that when it comes to kidnapping, you got to go out, because the pasuk says ki yimatzei. But I've already shown you ki yimatzei can't mean that based on what we've seen by adultery. So we go back to Mishpatim. Nimsa biyado. From there, nimsa biyado means that he has to go out and take him from somewhere else. Amar Rava, Hilka chane mikre dartiki o masne rabanan kimitzuim biyadan dame uptire. So mikre dartiki, school children, o masne rabanan, or teacher of chachamim. Right, they go right back in the times of the Gemara, as well as now as well. Right, they go and they live out by the yeshiva. They live out by the Rebbe, and they're living by the Rebbe. So that would be analogous to this type of circumstance, meaning that if there would be kidnapping, the Gemara is not suggesting there would be, but if there would be kidnapping, just like the exemption we just learned, that it's not that he didn't go out to get the individual. Same thing over here. He didn't go out to get the individual. It would be punter. Okay. Chati ever chati ben chorin. Our Mishnah taught us that if you kidnap a chati ever chati ben chorin, subject to a debate, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether or not this is kidnapping. First and foremost, what is chati ben chorin, chati ever chati ben chorin? So this comes up all the time throughout Shas. You have a slave that was owned by two partners. So in other words, so I went into a partnership with somebody else. We went to the slave market. We purchased ourselves a healthy slave. I own 50%, he owns 50%. Remember, slaves are chattel, it's property. And then I decide, for whatever reason, I'm giving up my shares. I'm freeing him from my shares. So now he's half free and half slave. Now the Mishnah Gittin teaches us that's a terrible situation to be in, because he can't get married. Who's he going to marry? He's going to marry a free woman,
no,
but he's half a slave. He's going to marry another slave, but he's half a free man. So
a woman who's half.
So why don't we? Stuart already knows what I'm going to say. So what about if it's what if we match him with another chatzi?
Right.
So it's like the batteries, right? We don't know if we're how to connect the positive to the negative, and the negative to the positive. Okay, it doesn't. We just don't know how to match it. Okay, fine. Tanan hasam. Okay, fine. So kidnapping of a chatzi is a machlokas. We learned in a Mishnah in Baba Kama, 8th parak of Baba Kama, Rabbi Yehuda Omer ein la'avadim boshes. And Eved doesn't have boshes, Eved Kanani. Eved doesn't have boshes, that means that if I do bodily damage to the Eved, obviously I have to pay. But if I embarrass the Eved, so I don't have to pay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, ein la'avadim boshes, there is no boshes to an Eved. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. The Torah says, two people are fighting. This is in Parshat Kisei, and the two people are fighting, and one of the wives gets involved, and the Torah describes uncomfortably how she goes and she grabs the private areas of one of the other man who is attacking her husband, right? And the Torah says, "V'katzasa es kapa." And you chop off her hand. That does not mean you chop off her hand, but it means that for the act of embarrassing, so now she has to pay the damages of the embarrassment that she did. Okay? Our focus right now is on ki natsu ad nashim yachdav ish ve'achiv. A man and his brother are fighting. Mishiesh lo achva, yatsa evishay lo achva. So Rabbi Yehuda says a man is excluded from achva. Sorry. A slave is excluded from Achva. Why is a slave excluded from Achva? Because he can't marry. He's not part of the... try not to attach it to the normal colloquial understanding of it, but he's not part of the brotherhood. Okay. V'rabanan, achivu b'mitzvos, and the chachamim say no. No, a slave is also achav. Why? Because he's chayv mitzvos. So he's, so to say, one of us.
But only certain mitzvahs, not fully. So
possible.
Fine. Okay.
Not
in terms of the definition of achav. You're right. He's not chayv in all mitzvahs, but enough to make him part of achav. Good. So now that we've reacquainted ourselves with the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, in terms of a slave, is he part of Echav? Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim vis-a-vis Boshes, now that we've reacquainted ourselves to that machlokas, let's try to see how that comes back over here. V'hacha hechidash Rav Yehuda, what does Rav Yehuda do over here? Meaning that when you have when you have the kidnapping of another individual, right? How does the Torah describe it? Me'achav mi'bnei Yisrael. So what are you going to do over here? So Rav Yehuda says, me'achav la'afukei avadim. So me'achav already tells us, and evidence excluded, right? Consistent to what he says in Baba Kama. B'nei Yisrael lema'utei mishechetzio ave v'chetzio ben chorin. B'nei Yisrael now is another exclusion. It's got to be. Otherwise, why does the Torah need to say it? Echav already tells us it has to be a Jew. So B'nai Yisrael is another exclusion. What if he's even closer to being Jewish? Chatzi chatzi. So that he's also excluded. Now, finally, me B'nai Yisrael. Me is even a further exclusion. How is that? So Lemute me shechetz yoheve v'chetz ben chorin to exclude chatzi chatzi. Now, if you've been following, we just did that. We just exclude the chetzi chetzi. Have emir achamir, ve emir achamir al l'rabos. So we have emir achamir, two negatives make a positive. Here, two exclusions are an inclusion, and so therefore he includes the chetzi chetzi. Okay? That's confusing. I know it's confusing. Okay. Virabanan, me echav, l'afuke avadim, lo mashmalahu da'achav hu b'mitzvos. Me echav, according to the Chachamim, doesn't exclude the slave, because we know, based on what we just reminded ourselves from Baba Kama, that echav is including slaves. So echav means everybody, including slaves. Then you have the word b'nei Yisrael, me b'nei Yisrael, the B'nai Yisrael and the Mi B'nai Yisrael, Chalamute Eved, Chalamute Misha Chetio Eved, Chetio Ben Chorin, that's to exclude the Chasi Chasi. Okay, so it's strange, but it comes out now that based on what your Echav is coming to exclude or include, will then affect how you darshan the Pasuk. Okay, Azhar L'Gonev Nefesh Minayin. Okay, basic question of the Gemara now. Where's a warning? The Torah says here in Parshas Ki Tsetse, if you do it, you're going to get the death penalty. Now, where's the warning? Now, why couldn't the Gemara just simply say that it comes from Mishpatim? I asked that question without an answer. I don't know.
It sounds like
Mishpatim. Right. I guess the Gemara is thinking that this is also the Onesh. Alright. Anyway, even though we have a Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, and we have a Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse, the Gemara feels they're both Onshim. Okay, I need to understand that better. But the Gemara feels they're both Onshim. Where is the Azhara? Where is the warning? So, Minayin, Rav Yoshi, Amar, Min Lo Signov, Aseres HaDibros, comes from the Pasuk of Lo Signov. Rav Yochanan Amar, Min Lo Yimcheru Mimkeras Eved. This past week's Parsha. Don't sell Mimkeres Eved, don't sell him like a slave. V'lo pligi, marka chashiv la de gneva, marka chashiv la de mechira. The truth of the matter is, really, there's no debate over here. Meaning that both are reflecting the aspects, the various aspects of kidnapping. Kidnapping is not just kidnapping an individual, but kidnapping him, working him, and selling him. So the pasuk by the Aseres HaDibros tells not to kidnap, and the pasuk by in Parshas Bechukosai, Parshas Bahar is telling us not to sell him. What about the emor? What about the enslavement? Okay, again, I'm not sure. All right, Tanur Rabbanan. Lo signal begon of nefashos akasa medaber. When it comes to the pasuk in Aseres HaDibros, Torah says lo signal, that means kidnapping. Ata omer begon of nefashos, o eno ela begonev mamon. Yeah, So gonev nefashos, gonev mamon. Amar tzelamei mishloshes v'midushatar nedreshes behem. Davar halamei mi'inyano. Context is so important. Context will tell us that by the Aseres HaDibros, it's not talking about stealing. It's talking about kidnapping. B'me'akaz medaber benefashos, avkam benefashos. So too over here, it's got to be nefashos. Look, lo sirtzach, don't kill. Lo sinaf, don't commit adultery. Adultery is a capital crime. Lo signov, also has got to be capital crime. Lo sa'ane? Could go either way. Lo sachmod? Okay. I'm not sure. Tanya idach. Lo signovu begonev mamanakas medaber. In Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah says lo signovu. And lo signovu over there means don't steal money. Ata omer begonev mamano enola begonev nefashos. So amar steal me, mishoshes re midosh re ator nejoshes me. Davala me minya no. Bamea kasam medaber bamamon. Afkan bimamon. So it comes out that over there it's talking about contextually mamon. Look around over there in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim. You will see money, 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 money. Everything over there is a prohibition of taking somebody's money. Lo signovo, lo sechachashu. Right? It's all about money. So contextually, that Parsha is talking about money. Here also, when it comes to lo signov and the Aseres Adibros, context tells us that it is gonev nefashos. Okay. We'll stop over here. So again, where we're at right now is we're basically now in the middle of the discussion of kidnapping. Kidnapping is three steps in the process. It's not to kidnap, not to enslave, and not to sell. It's a capital crime when all three are done. A discussion and debate amongst about kidnapping and selling to family members, whether or not that's a capital crime. A discussion of kidnapping your own child, whether that's a capital crime. A discussion of kidnapping a chatzi av chatzi ben chorin. And finally, we finished off today by talking about where is the azara, where is the warning for kidnapping. And the Gemara's conclusion is lo signov of the aseres adibros. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from Adam Zomimim.